ready. We had to do a restart there. Give me a little jibber jabber. You got some jibber?
A little jibber and a little jabber.
Okay. Now if I can not beesh this.
Okay. Get it together. Since November is the last time. Oh, yeah. And wow. I'm excited about the music that we can't hear now, but...
We will hear later.
Future us will hear.
Future us will hear.
I'm going to need you to eat one of those ginger snaps, otherwise I'm just going to eat them.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I'm excited. It's good to be back.
Yeah.
Nice to see you.
Saddle.
Yes. Foreshadowing.
Yeah. Great to see you.
Nice to see you.
Yeah.
Great to be back with you. It's a long time.
Yeah. It has been.
But we're here now.
A dog's age.
What does that mean, really?
A long time. Is a dog's age like I haven't seen you in like 12 years?
Maybe that's why it is, right?
Yeah.
We don't know. There's a lot of stuff I don't understand in the world.
I got to say, half of the idioms in this episode were beyond us.
They put the idia in idioms. Yes. I think a lot of them either fundamentally didn't make sense or weren't real idioms.
Yeah.
Idea. And I think the...
Is that the Latin?
I don't know. Sure.
That's crunchy.
French, it's good, right?
Yeah.
It's got this. It puts the snap in ginger snap. It's really got a snap. And it's gingery.
Yeah, very.
They're good, yeah.
It's nice.
Or they didn't... They either fundamentally just didn't make sense,
mm-hmm.
or they were used like in the wrong place.
Yeah. Yeah. It was...
There was the one where... Spoiler alert.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do we even have to say spoiler alert? The whole, we're talking about the show.
Yeah.
Also, who would care? Anyway.
Well, I think it's proper for you to say it.
Okay. Right. It's probably not hurting anybody for me to say it.
You're not taking away.
Also, I love that you're only eating part of that ginger snap and then you're pacing yourself. That's so... I have like four in my mouth a minute ago at once.
You know, partly because it's so crunch-tastic, I just don't want to irritate the listeners so much right off the bat.
The listener will be
the okay. listener will be all right. All right. Watch me.
I think that, yeah. There was the one scene where the bad guys...
Mm-hmm.
create a rock slide. Rock slide avalanche?
They push some rocks over the... Rock-a-lanche.
And they create that, and the
hearts... Here I am!
The hearts...
come on!
Does he do that in that song?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I need to re-listen. I haven't listened to that. I don't really like that song very much, so I have to listen to it.
But, yeah.
That sounds
great. Come on. And
now
listen.
I'm interested. Now I'm back in. My neighbors used to listen to the Scorpions like when the first record came out, before they were like a hit. Falling in Love by the Scorpions. Pretty great.
I'm falling in love.
Right? Because the dude's got that like this weird Teutonic pronunciation.
I'm falling in love. It happens to me every day.
It's a little Bjorkian. I'm doing it more Bjork.
I was gonna say, smoking cigars. It's a little Bjorkian and a little Triumph the Insult Dog. There's just like a light misting of that. I can't wait to do this record.
That's great.
Yeah.
The hearts were near the edge of this cliff. This
on the down, on the below
base,
it. Yes,
the base. Mm-hmm. Yes, and Jennifer Hart was plucking like a little desert rose or whatever you call it off a cactus.
Yeah,
and then
that's a song too, but I don't know how it goes.
Yeah,
go ahead.
The sting thing. Desert Rose, right?
Oh, is that who it is? Okay.
Yeah. There's also, what's the other big Desert Rose mentioned?
Isn't there some kind
In
of...
In God's Country by U2, there's a Desert Rose.
Oh, yeah. I like that mention. Song. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Desert Rose. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I keep interrupting.
It's fine. It's important that we stay on message here.
I was going to say, people are following your every word, and I'm...
Nobody's following any of my words.
So, yeah, they're at the base of this cliff of sorts.
Make a micro cliff.
Yeah. Right.
It might be, it could be 40 feet high based on the view from above.
Yeah, agreed.
Right.
Do you need to be saying what Mr. Hart is doing at the bottom of this cliff?
Oh, yeah. No, you can talk about it.
Oh, my gosh.
Because this is another great.
Yeah.
I mean,
so the next spoiler alert is there's maybe something wrong with the water in this
ranch land.
Yeah. And so Jonathan suddenly has a rack of test tubes to gather water samples, which is amazing.
A lot of test tubes. Like 12.
Yeah.
In a janky metal rack that doesn't really hold them steady. They're kind of clanking around. I was very anxious watching them. I'm like, these test tubes are going to break. How are you going to transport those in a bumpy-ass pickup truck?
Yeah, no.
So Jennifer plucks a thing, and then the rock avalanche happens, and they hide in a crevice and manage to escape.
Right.
Unharmed, thankfully.
Yeah.
But their truck... which is like 30 feet away from the cliff. This is not how physics works. It gets submerged and crushed by the rocks.
Right.
And when they emerge from the crevice or crevasse.
Whichever.
I've heard it both ways. She sort of makes reference to the thing that none of the viewers probably would have remembered, which is that she went over towards the face of the dingus to pluck this flower, and she says hang on, let me consult my notes.
Okay.
She says something, is that what they mean by don't stop, you gotta stop to smell the flowers?
Yeah. And so I turned to her and I was like, wait, what?
Yes, there was a flower involved, but that, like, it doesn't make any sense. No, that's not what they mean.
Yeah.
Jennifer.
To don't stop and smell the roses because there might be a rock avalanche.
Or stop and smell them because then you'll avoid a rock avalanche.
Then you'll be safe. I mean,
no, it has nothing to do with that. That expression has nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
No. That was the part we were talking about, is that there's a lot of ranchy phraseology being tossed around. Or,
by the way, this is episode something, season.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Yeah.
Two. Yeah. Murder in the Saddle.
Murder in the Saddle.
Which is why we're back in the saddle.
We are.
Now I've pulled it all together for you.
You sure did. Not just for me, for everybody.
For the
out
royal
there.
You.
That's right. We're talking about Mia and Karen O and everybody else.
That's right, coach. Karen O. We're shouting you out, well, Karen.
You think the BQ is listening?
I don't know about if BQ is still listening.
Who knows?
Yeah.
yeah, season 2, episode 12.
Yeah.
Murder in the Saddle.
Which I'm going to, Karen, now we did try to pull up your recommended, because we were going to do that next.
It was unavailable on the interwebs and stuff, but we will find it.
Yes, stand
by.
What
was that one called again? What was it about?
It's Back on the Ranch.
It
was
ranchy, right.
It was ranchy.
This is why we picked this.
Like the good Doritos.
I mean, if it's anywhere near as entertaining as this one, it'll be pretty good. This was pretty good. I mean, it was terrible.
It was terrible. And there were no wigs, which apparently this other one, which we will see when it's available, is wigtastic.
And I wasn't paying as much to Jennifer, but Jonathan was definitely doing, what's his name, was definitely doing his own horse work.
Yes. Yeah, Wagner.
Maybe not the jump over the fence, but.
Yeah, maybe not that. But he was getting on the horse by himself.
Mm-hmm. He was riding around.
He was a horseman.
He was huffing and puffing. Yeah.
Oh, my God. There were a couple. Yeah, he looked uncomfortable.
Burst, yeah.
I was worried.
Yeah. Like he ate a whole meatloaf and then got on the horse. He was like, oof. Without maybe, anything to drink.
Maybe,
like,
he's, maybe he's had some of that Brammable.
Mm,
yeah.
Delicious. Yes. That was a great thing, right? Where they were, in order to paint a picture of how evil the bad guy was, they point out that one of his bulls kicked him one time and broke his leg.
Yeah.
And he was so mad that he had the bull killed.
Yeah.
And carved up into meat.
Yeah. And then ate the meat for 2 months straight.
A cow's meat.
Yes.
And I guess not a cow, but a...
Yeah. Close enough. But it's the cow family.
Is a cow necessarily female? I mean, what are we, a bovine creature?
What do I look like, fucking Attenborough? I don't know.
Clearly, I don't know either. Yeah, but that was his, that was like, can you imagine who would do such a thing and then yeah. kept the horns? Yeah,
everybody.
That's what they do with cows.
Yeah.
Where he's eating at fucking Culver's. Like, it's like, that's what they do.
Yeah, and then they put the, supposedly put the horns of this steer on yes. the front of on this Cadillac, but or whatever it was it a yes. Cadillac? But the, you know, the styling department yes. put it in the middle of the hood, not yes. in the front, it which was is like, hilarious.
Right, it was like closer to the windshield than the front of the yeah. car. It wasn't like a hood ornament.
Like, had they never seen
how you do it?
Yeah, I mean, just
great question.
I mean, isn't the...
I did think that when the car first showed up early in the episode,
yeah.
I was like, that seems like a weird placement. And then you said it out loud. I was already thinking...
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I'm validated.
Yeah.
I'm not the only one who thinks this is weird.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll have to look up some photos of steer's horns on Cadillacs.
Isn't there one in one of the Smokey and the Bandits? The guy, where there's like a pair that's giving the money for... the delivery or whatever. I know. Like, why do I know this?
I'm not sure I've ever seen Smokey and the Bandit.
And there's a big guy and a little guy.
Okay, sure.
And they are maybe driving a big red Cadillac convertible with the bullhorns on the front.
I love this.
I feel like I need to look it up right now. Yeah. I don't know why I know this information.
I love that you know it. I don't know if I ever saw... I must have... I feel like I had to have seen at least one of the Smokey and the Bandits.
No, I don't have my phone on me. Never mind.
Okay. But I don't know that I have.
Yeah, that's fine.
I don't know that I've ever seen the whole thing. I was big into like the Burt Reynolds movies of that era. Hooper, one of the great movies of all time.
Spoiler alert, that would also be Smokey and the Bandit.
Have you seen Hooper?
No.
It's so great. He's like an aging stuntman.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's great. It's just basically like he got like, you know, whatever move MGM Studios to give him like $2 million to horse around with his friends for a month.
Right. You know what I mean? Like right.
That's probably got some real idiomatic non sequiturs or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to start off with this.
Please.
Even though I'm saying start off and we've probably been yammering for 15 minutes. What the hell is this place? I mean, I guess it's a ranch.
The ranch, yeah.
But I mean, what is it? It's like, so is it their personal ranch that they visited for a vacation?
I think so.
So it's in the middle of like what seems...
Colorado, maybe. Because the guy Max referred to something being rented in Durango, so I assume it's Colorado.
Yeah, okay. So this woman, Roxy... Who is
so great.
An amazing
Let's
character.
Let's hope she's in the next episode at the ranch.
Agreed. I don't even know where to begin. Yeah, I know you can't even describe. You just need to make those faces.
Her like 1940s comic book acting.
Yeah. Oh. Oh well.
I mean.
Yeehaw! I mean, there was all the
Nabbit or whatever. I don't know what
Dag Nabbit.
I don't think she even But she had some other variant that was like a thing that nobody says.
Okay. Even better. But every single scene, she's wearing one, at least one item that is the brightest red you've ever seen in your life.
And those blues. The blues as well.
Yeah, like, blue or red, that was her wardrobe. And it was amazing. But
how does she keep those colors so bright and fresh? She's using some kind of miracle Tide or whatever.
I was going to say, yeah. Tide Max. So she's hanging out with them the entire time. I just questioned. It's just, I mean, it's very Hartian, if you will. It's like the two of them hanging out at their ranch, but also with this woman and Max. I don't know. It's weird. It's a weird scene.
It seems like she runs the ranch, right?
Okay. What's to run, by the way? There's no animals.
Maybe she just takes care of the house. She house sits.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean.
So the whole tableau was throwing me off.
I think if you think too hard about it, it all falls apart.
House of cards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just got to skim the surface, dude.
Yeah, no, you're right. Skipping stone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you want to be.
Yeah.
Nice, flat, light stone. Over the top.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
To the other. That's how you get to the other side.
You just bounce along, admire the ascots, and keep on moving.
Let's talk about those. So okay. Here's, not only, so I didn't count them, but there were a lot.
There were a lot
of bandana ascot situations going on. I mean, yeah. What's his face wears an ascot on the regular anyway?
Yeah.
So this wasn't that much of a departure, but a couple of them were pretty bold in their like sticky outiness. Here's the thing, I'm gonna share some personal information. Ooh. My dad, big bandana guy.
Really?
Back in the day.
I didn't know this.
And I don't understand.
Around the neck as well?
Yeah. Hmm. And I don't understand the purpose of no one's been able to explain to me the purpose of a bandana around your neck. Isn't that why you have a shirt? Also, why would you want to catch all the, like, who cares? Know. Like, why do you want to collect neck sweat?
I know.
And then keep it in a moist garment around your neck. Wouldn't you rather have that shiz, like, evaporate or run somewhere else?
Yeah. Agreed.
Also, wouldn't wearing a cloth thing tightly knotted around your neck make your neck sweat?
Yes.
Maybe. Are you creating your own
problem? I was just going to say. Or maybe that's what you want. Maybe that's the goal.
I really don't understand it.
Yeah.
It's a puzzle to me every time I see it.
Yeah.
It's a puzzle to me when you see like sort of like 70s glam rockers, right?
With the silk scarf.
Like I just don't. It can't be comfortable. It can't be more comfortable than not having something tied around your neck.
Well, that's for sure.
But I bet you there's people that maybe some people like to have their neck nestled. With tight cloth.
And a little sweat.
There's a lid for every pot in this world, Wacky.
That's right.
I'm honestly confounded by this. This has come up a few times recently in my life. And each time I'm like, I don't understand what I want to know. Like, what made you put that on?
Yeah.
Right? Like, why did you put that on?
Yeah, that's a good question.
What's that doing for you right now?
Yeah. I'm trying to think back. I don't
want to be confrontational about it. I just want information.
Understood. It's investigative.
Yeah, I'm not adversely judging them. I'm just trying to understand it.
Yeah. Add it to the list right after the sport coat.
Totally confounded. The bad guy was wearing a sport coat in the one scene where the hearts were lollygagging around the guy's like private study.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Finding the notebook. That Jennifer happens to flip to the page that has a bunch of senators' names and dollar amounts next to them.
I love that.
Not in like a financial ledger or whatever.
No.
In like just like a notebook, like a journal.
Yeah, and full senators. Senator so-and-so, so-and-so, $5,000. He wanted very clear notes.
He was wearing a sport coat. Yeah. Why are you wearing that? What is it doing for you right now?
In general, everybody was wearing way too much, and I don't know. It just seemed very.
Bananas.
I mean, it was like
Max's.
It
look?
Was like shirts with a vest with a jacket.
Yeah.
You know.
It looked very cumbersome.
Yeah, exactly. That's again. That's not vacation wear. How many times must I say?
The only time anybody looked comfortable when they got off the plane, Jonathan was wearing like a sweater and some like pleated.
Oh, yeah.
He was wearing like a beige sweater and beige pleated pants. Looked pretty comfortable.
Also, when they were lying down with the horse and he was just wearing a robe.
A robe in the stable.
Yeah.
Where he told the horse, I know this isn't the Waldorf Astoria, but this is the best we got. Because the horse was accustomed, apparently, to living in the fucking Waldorf Astoria.
I'm glad you said something.
Classic. We might have to do a supercut of all the quips that don't actually mean anything and don't make any sense.
I don't think it's possible.
It would be so long.
It would be so long. I mean, it's like half the episode.
Yeah. Waldorf Astoria.
Yeah.
Another one of the quips. This was particularly great because the Brillo head George W. Bush guy, henchman.
Yes.
The bad guy sort of says, like, just giving orders to the henchman and the sheriff who's in cahoots with them.
Right.
Right? To basically, like, we're going to kill the hearts, right?
Right.
The W guy goes, yeah, return to sender, get it? No, nobody gets it. Return what to sender? No one's mailing anything. Nothing's getting returned.
Yeah.
They're...
to their maker.
No, we don't get it.
Yeah.
We don't get it.
Yeah, it was... I don't disagree. I wish I could say more about Roxy and her outfits. I just can't. It's she's too larger than life. I can't even.
She is. She can't be contained.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Bless.
Thank you. Consarn it. She was. Yeah, between the looks and her expressions and her delivery of the lines, it was.
Yeah.
It was some Scooby-Doo shiz.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She looked like an animated character.
She really did. She really did.
She was an animated character.
And colored in with Sharpies.
Like neon. Like.
Yeah.
I dig your commentary on there. There was a breaking and entering.
Yes. Yeah, right through the window. And wasn't it right next to a door? They opened the window to crawl through the window. But the best part was when they were getting away, Jonathan did the, like, literally pulled the rug out from under the bad guy.
That was actually a good move.
Yeah. Although, that would be impossible.
No, of course.
No one has the leverage and is that strong to do that. So while the guy is toppled over, which of course takes him out of the game for probably 5 minutes.
Exactly.
There's plenty of time for them to, instead of go to the door, go back out the window the way they came. And he literally just threw Jennifer through that window. And it was pretty funny. And then he leapt out the window themselves, and then they're like trying to get on their horses again. This guy he's going to be right behind them, but well, clearly he wasn't, because they had plenty of time to like get on the horse, look around, have their horses kind of go a couple different directions, you know, not moving really.
Yes, Jennifer, after they got on the horse, are you okay? Well, if she was okay when she got out the window and the guy fired the gunshot, she's probably okay now because nothing else has happened in the last 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Except you, like, lugging your butt up onto the horse and standing around.
That whole last 10 minutes of
their chase scene was horse and car chase.
It was insane. And by insane, I mean
not realistic.
Yeah, what was it? Not credible.
Not credible. It was incredible. It was incredible. It lacked credibility.
For sure.
The car would. They're making their getaway on the road on horses instead of off-road. And they finally off-road.
And not racing. They're like kind of a gallop.
Trot.
Yeah, between a trot and a gallop.
And then what are the rankings? Where's a canter? Where does that go?
I feel like that's lower, right? That's pretty low.
I don't know.
That might be below trot.
Okay.
No, maybe it's above trot. I don't know.
Walk.
Yeah.
Trot a canter somewhere.
Yeah. I think that's right. Yeah.
Then they finally realize, well, we're on horses. We don't have to stand the road.
Right.
But apparently they go on a path that's wide enough to accommodate a Cadillac.
Yeah, right. Right.
Which, as you said, they're not going at like a full out.
Yeah.
Gallop or whatever. And they're... yet somehow always manage to stay ahead of this car.
And when they get to the ghost town, far out in front of the car, because they had time to stop, park their horses, wrap up their little...
Talk about a stupid plan.
Yeah.
That didn't make any sense.
Yeah. And then hide. And then the car came around the corner.
And then Jonathan's like great plan was... to have Jennifer come out and smile at the guys, the bad guys, when they showed up.
Right.
So he ties up the horses. He has Jennifer go in the saloon, which is right where the horses are tied up.
Right.
Although it apparently takes these guys like 10 minutes to find them in there.
Yeah.
Jonathan goes around the corner of the building. He's got his lasso tied to one of the wooden posts of the like overhang of the porch.
Yeah.
He waits. The guy's kind of, I don't know, they don't think to look in the place where the horses are parked, which is right in front. They split up and go around the ghost town looking for them.
Yeah.
He was around the corner waiting with the rope in his hand. Then for some reason he decides to hang up the lasso, go untie his horse, go back around to the same spot where he was standing, but now on the horse.
Yeah.
And holding the lasso.
Yeah.
And then the sheriff is wandering around on the porch for, I don't know, 30 seconds or something like that.
Yeah.
At any point, with or without the horse, Jonathan could have, like, done his thing where he pulls the post out and the overhang falls on the sheriff.
Which, by the way, also, like...
But he waits till Jennifer comes out, makes a stupid comment about the piano in the saloon being out of tune.
Right.
Sorry, it's out of tune. And like does a whistle. And the sheriff turns around, fires a shot at her. She goes back into the saloon. Then Jonathan pulls down the overhang.
Yeah.
Why did you have to have her come out? Why did you have to whistle? Why did you have to have your wife get shot at before you pulled the dingus? As soon as you got on the porch, pull the dingus.
I tell you what, it's good television, that's why.
I guess they're really building up the suspense. It was not credible.
The whole thing was the whole chase and hide and whatever thing.
The part that you pointed out, right? And it's part of that chase and hide and capture and then thwart the bad guy.
Oh, so the guy who goes up? Yes.
And W, right? He gets...
Yeah. He, like, steps in a, like, super Scoob style. He steps in a looped, you know, the rope has been looped by Jonathan, and Jonathan's up in, like, the haystack.
Yeah.
Pulls... The guy gets his... Thank you. Yes, you're right.
Welcome.
It's so exciting. Pulls the guy up upside down. He's got him by, you know, so he's like held by his ankles with this rope. And suddenly, as he's being pulled up, he's got a bandana in his mouth to shut him up. However, his arms are just flailing out, so
he could just... And neither of the hearts had touched him. He apparently stuffed a bandana in his own mouth. Because Jonathan was in the hayloft.
Yeah.
And Jennifer didn't touch him.
Yeah. No, he put it in his own mouth. And...
And
if he needed to yell, he could have just taken it back out because his arms are completely free. Which is also hilarious.
His arms can't overcome gravity, apparently. And then before that, again, in a nonsensical discussion plot point, Jonathan says to Jennifer after they pull the overhang down in the sheriff and they're trying to get W.
Yeah.
They're trying to entrap him. He says to Jennifer, "Do you have one more whistle in you?"
Oh, I missed that one.
Like, oh yeah, God. It's whistling. I can fucking whistle all day. That's fine. Yes. The answer is yes. But then, like, then he just kind of nods and she kind of walks away. Like, okay, I know what that means as far as a plan in a ghost town with a...
Right.
So... And she's kind of milling around and you see like sort of like, huh? Like Scooby, Three Stooges, whatever style. Like W is like facing the other way and she walks kind of by the doorway and spots him. And then he's got a gun and she doesn't. And Jonathan's nowhere to be found. So she stops and whistles to get the guy's attention. And he jumps up and, huh? And like turns around and shoots at her and starts chasing her and she runs away. Like,
yep.
What was the point of drawing his attention?
Don't know. Good television.
That's the answer, isn't it? You know what else was good television?
What's that?
The doorbell mounted on the desk in the bad guy's study when they went in.
I swear, if I ever get a full-time job again, that's going to be in the contract. I want a doorbell on my desk.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
And by the way, I just have to figure out what the doorbell noise is going to be.
Mm. I wrote down one of the other non sequitur things.
Yeah.
Somebody says, Jonathan says, well, once the word of this gets out, that bill in Congress is going to be about as popular as a slush fund.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think those are pretty popular. I think everybody likes a slush fund.
Well, that shows you where his plan's going.
I mean...
Yeah.
Do you think they were in a hurry when they, like, in these seasons? Like, it's so many things to write. And, like, we just have to, like, I don't know. We need 3 more minutes. Like, let's just... put a couple other lines in here and we'll get a reaction shot and then that'll be like good for like another 15 seconds. And if we do like 6 of those, that's a minute and a half. We're almost there.
It's a good question. Yeah. I don't know.
Or was someone like this guy got a great line?
Yeah. It's very political. Maybe even topical. There's really only 2 places that whistling is good.
Okay.
One, if you're calling your pet. And 2, if you're by yourself.
If you're by yourself. Explain that one.
Listening to somebody else whistle a song.
Oh, whistle like a tune, not like a...
Yeah. No, not the... Yeah.
A call.
Yeah, no.
Go ahead. Please finish your thought.
No, that's all.
Listening to someone else whistle a song.
Yeah, is... No, you only if you're by yourself.
Are you a good whistler?
No, not really.
Me neither.
I do not want to listen to somebody else whistling a song. It's really...
I can't do it now. Okay.
It's really one of the... I mean, I feel like when I was back in the agency days, there would be somebody on the floor.
Yeah.
That used to like whistle a lot, like whistle songs. And that's when I made up that rule. Like, no, it's... When you're by yourself, that's the perfect time to be whistling a song.
When I worked at The Pill, I had we had computers, right? Very early computers. And we had very early, like, internal email. And there was like a, it was like a tone when you would get an email. An alert tone. And I don't know how I figured this out, but I figured out that you could program. I don't know if it was MIDI or it was something like that, like some rudimentary way. You could program a tone, like a melody.
Yeah.
And save it on your computer as the alert.
Yeah, yeah.
And I apologized. I can't remember what her name was. Jody Keller and Deb Eckerling and whoever else sat around me.
Right.
Because I spent about a week programming the X-Files theme song. The I can't do it now, right? The whistling thing, that melody. As my
yes,
and I mean really tweaking it to get it right, to get the rhythm right, and the I spent I'm not exaggerating, probably a week, maybe 2 weeks. I didn't have a lot of work there. I didn't have to work very hard, a lot of free times, and I was, you know, the one, it was just coming out of the speakers. There was no like headphones or whatever. It was coming out of the machine.
Yeah.
And it was a place where people, like, the job was to edit books.
So right.
Not a noisy, it was a quiet place.
Right.
And I'm sure everybody in that party office just heard me program this thing. Like, playing it over and over and over to get it right. And it's like, it's very difficult to figure out, like, how do I make this one note longer? And you gotta, like, put in a value, like, between, you know, 2 and 256. And, like, you know? And I don't know. I don't remember how I did it, but I just remember spending a good chunk of my life on that. And those young ladies were, I mean, just the fact that they didn't beat me to death with a baseball bat.
And then when you were done, did you actually use it or did you just delete it?
I'm sure I used it for a while.
Okay.
And then probably at some point, even I was probably annoyed by it. Someone might have been like, you know what? You have to. Like, you can't have that 20 times a day.
Like, right. Oh, fantastic. Now, I seem to recall. I'm not even going to try because I know I'm not going to be able to do it. I'm smiling too much. I seem to recall that I've heard that you are,
you can do
the loud whistle.
Yeah, I can do a loud whistle.
That's been on my to-do list.
I can
list.
Show you how to do it.
I would love that.
I'll teach you. It's useful.
My mother is the queen of, that one.
Sorry, listener.
Yeah, and hers is at least that loud. I mean, for sure, it was the, like, she's a block away and she would whistle.
I learned to do it, I think it was junior high.
Oh, really?
At Sunday school. My cousin John had learned how to do it, maybe from his brother or something.
Okay.
My dad could do it really well.
Yeah, that's what
and
I heard.
My cousin John taught me how to do it.
Yeah.
And I remember being at Sunday school. I remember spending like 2 weekends with like my fingers are wrinkly because I had my mouth for nonstop for like 2 weekends.
Right.
And then I finally got it.
Yeah.
And once I got the hang of it.
Yeah.
I had it then forever. Like once I got it, I got it.
Yeah. I want it.
Well, I spent a lot of time working on it. You got to stay with it. I mean, some people maybe could do it right off the bat, but it took me a long time. And I specifically remember him teaching me how to do it and then spending forever trying to get it. And then it was pretty great. Then I couldn't stop.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. Why would you?
I'd be whistling everywhere. And,
now that whistle I would be okay with. Yeah.
The next level is the people who can do it without their fingers.
Oh, I've never seen that. Oh, yeah.
They can just do it with their mouth.
Yeah.
That is next level.
Yeah.
That's the best because then you don't have to have your hands free.
You know,
winter gloves, whatever.
Right.
But I can do it with the, I can show you how to.
Yeah, please. I did look it up a few years ago. I was like, okay, this is my summer project.
Sure.
And I was looking it up, you know, on whatever, not the YouTubes, but, yeah, you know, but whatever on the internet. I think that I just didn't even think of that. I bet I could find it on there now. But,
sure.
You know,
sure.
So I'm like, you know, looking at diagrams of like where to put your tongue and your fingers and everything. Right. And I couldn't get there. Yeah. So
it takes time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a thing. I mean, maybe some people can do right off the bat. But like I said, it took me a long time. You really had to like work on the positioning and the technique. But
all right.
Useful, though. Comes in handy.
For sure.
Comes in handy.
Yeah. Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Did she whistle in that part?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm talking to you.
I know. It would be pretty funny if she had whistled like, hey, Obi-Wan Kenobi, help.
Carrie Fisher strikes me as someone who probably could do that whistle.
Probably.
Yeah.
She's not alive anymore, is she?
No, she's gone.
Okay. Rip.
Rip.
We can keep talking. Are we wrapping it up? I feel like this is a good dose for.
Yeah, it's yeah. Everybody.
For we'd Big like Beckins. To please the people.
It's exactly right.
It's one of our taglines.
Yeah, we like to please the people.
We like to please the people.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't think of anything else with this episode. Do we need to talk about the Olympics? We'll save that for another one. I'm excited to that's coming to town. And by coming to town, I mean, you know, it's going to be on TV for me, but not for you. Where are you going?
Where am I going?
Yeah. I mean, like, what have you picked out? What you're...
Yeah, I bought some tickets to the things.
Yeah. Should we save this for another episode?
We can talk about it, sure. Okay. We can talk about it for a second.
Now. Okay, yeah. So what do you get tickets?
Call it a teaser.
Yeah, right. exactly. Let's build some buzz.
Yeah, let's start some chatter here, because the Olympics need our help.
Exactly.
Getting hyped up. You had to buy. So I signed up for the whatever process to get tickets, and then you had to buy like sort of these blocks of tickets, and basically like for every good event, you have to go to like a bogus event.
Oh,
you
really?
Have to buy a bogus event, because otherwise nobody, you know, I mean, certain stuff would never sell out.
Yeah.
But, and then I'm only going for this. I'm only going for the second week of the thing. So I'm missing the first week. So I have to give up some of the tickets that I had bought for the first week. And certain events are totally done after the first week, like tennis. There's no, tennis is over by end of week one. But a bunch of, mostly track and field.
I was going to say, I feel like track
one is... soccer game.
Okay.
And then one... like outdoor rowing dingus canoe sprint, maybe?
Oh, okay. Not rowing. It's like some other paddle. Listen,
to the rest of us, it's all rowing.
Well, you're wrong.
Shiz in a little boat with a paddle or an oar or whatever it is.
Right. Okay.
I know. I'm just a...
Yeah.
Lay person.
That's all right. That's all right. Okay. Well, I'm excited to
hear more. Are you, I didn't know you were in the pocket of Big Olympics. Do I know this about you?
Yes. We actually have discussed it on another podcast.
Come on. Have we really?
I shit you negative.
Have we been doing this long enough that there was an Olympics?
Yes. Yes. Which is not that long ago because it's every 2 years. Yeah. 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 We discussed the Winter Olympics.
Oh, good. Well, I have to go back and listen.
Yeah.
That's great. I'm excited to talk about this. What would you, of Summer Olympics, what are the things you like the most?
I'm a big, the racy stuff. I mean, I like the swimming and I like the track and field.
Yeah.
At this point, I'll certainly be tuning in on the rowing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, other stuff you will find out, spoiler alert, when you go back and listen to our winter one. I used to be a huge Summer Olympics fan and like a so-so winter, and now I've totally 180'd. Like, I love most of the winter.
Yeah.
And I'm a little so-so. Like,
I probably said this then if we talked about this
you
before.
You probably did. Your biggest summer.
Well, I think my thing is... although I admire the the skill and the whatever. I'm not into the events that have a judge.
Yeah, you, you
I don't like stuff that's a matter of opinion.
Yeah.
I want fucking empirical, fact-based.
Right. You want data points, period.
I want it to be credible.
Yeah. Right. I'm with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great to see you.
Great to see you.
Well, talking about some other stuff off camera.
Okay. And I'm now, and now for some fabulous music.
It's already cool. Okay. All right, great to see you.
Come care. Let's have a heart to heart.